Who is this man, Jesus? I asked y'all for some homework a while back. I've only had one person that turned it in. On the questions, two questions. Oh, y'all are doing real good that are turning in homework right now. And y'all are doing really good. I'm really excited for those of you that turn in homework. But I got two questions that I asked a long time ago. And it was a few months later that somebody turned in the answer. I haven't got it from you. Okay? Here's the two questions. Who is Jesus to you? And who are you without Jesus? You remember that? Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Anybody want to confess? Okay. Yeah. You remember that. Anybody turn in that homework? Don't lie. All right. With a stick. Okay. I want you to write these questions down. I'm going to give you three more that go with it. And then I want homework. Are you ready? Do you have something to write on? Where's your paper? Where's your pen? Okay. Well, after church, Mercada, you remind me, and we buy notebooks. I buy them by the hundreds to give to people, okay? Now, you ready? Who is Jesus to you? Do you feel better? Is that table going to help, you know? There you go. Give them out. Who is Jesus to you? Now, under that, I want you to get what I'm saying. I think if you look around today, you might understand why I'm asking this question. Or why God's asking this question. Are you ready? First of all, Father, we do want to thank you for honoring us with your presence. Thank you that you chose to come. I don't ever want to take that for granted. We want to honor and lift up and exalt the name of Jesus Christ in this place. I just pray that you would have your words spoken, your words heard, and that Jesus, you would be seen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Who is Jesus to you? Under that, I want you to write, how would you present Jesus Christ? How would you present Jesus Christ to somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ? What if they did not grow up in America? What if they grew up in America and they were deaf? I learned sign language to communicate with deaf people. And Sue and I used to go door to door and talk to deaf people. And I went to this teenager's house and I knocked on his door and I said, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And he said, "Does he live around here?" I said, "I'm talking about Jesus Christ." He said, "Am I supposed to know him?" He had never heard of him because he's deaf. He was 17 years old, had never heard of Jesus Christ. What if you came from another country, like Yugoslavia, and you had never heard of Jesus, or what you had heard, just another name, just another God? You didn't know He was the only God. You didn't know He was the real God. You didn't know that He could live in you. How would you, minister of God, how would you present Jesus the Christ? What does Scripture say about Jesus Christ? That's the second point under number one. So A is, number one is, who is Jesus to you? A is, how would you present Jesus Christ? B is, what does Scripture say about Jesus Christ? What does Scripture say? See, the one person that turned in, I said, who is Jesus to you? They wrote down all this stuff, and it was good stuff, but there was not Scripture, and the stuff that they had in there would not bring somebody to Jesus. It was just telling what all He was doing in their life, which is really good. But what I'm looking for, because what I feel like God wants, is for you to be able to present Jesus Christ. We sing a song, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God. We're not Jehovah Witnesses. I mean, we're Jehovah True Witnesses, but you wouldn't call us a Jehovah Witness. We're not Jews, so we're not going to talk about God as Jehovah. We're talking about God as Jesus Christ. Who is He? Because can anybody come to God except through Jesus? I can't hear you. He's the only way, right? Then if He's the only way, how are we presenting Him? You need to come to church. You need to worship generic God. Is He just another God? He's the only God. All the rest of them are false. Every one. Unless Jesus is a liar. And He's not. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, by the way, Mercada, just so you know, said it right? Said it. We are, as a church, we found Bosnian Bibles. And we are going to buy you some Bosnian. So hopefully they'll be here next Sunday so you can have the Bible in your own language. Okay? So I'm just letting you know. So because I know if I went to Yugoslavia, even if I could speak whatever that is, Yugoslavian. Okay, what? Who? Even if I could, I wouldn't understand everything. And it would be easier if I had it in my own language to understand what you're saying. So, I'm just letting you know. How would you present Jesus Christ? What does Scripture say about Jesus? Look at Acts 4:12. Are you in Acts chapter 4, verse 12? Now, y'all know what we need to do. You know when we have visitors, we need to have an SOS, right? You know what SOS means? It means slip over some, and let me share my Bible with you. Okay? Because if they don't have a Bible, then they need help. Okay? So maybe you want to SOS with some people who don't have a Bible, if anybody's picking up on my hint. Okay? That means you'd have to get up from where you are and leave your comfort zone to go sit next to somebody who doesn't have a Bible and help them.
We don't have a Bible.
Okay. I'm not looking at you. God is. Okay? Okay? Acts 4:12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. Let's read that again. Neither is there salvation or deliverance through any other. For there is none other name other than Jesus. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. Now turn over to John chapter 10. Okay? That's why you need to do an SOS to sit next to them. That's why SOS means slip over some. Okay? Because when you hand one a Bible, then you got to stay with them to help them. So here we go. John chapter 10. It's okay. It's okay. We're getting there. John chapter 10. If I could read upside down. John chapter 10. We'll start with, I think it's around verse 1. Okay? John chapter 10. We'll start with verse 1. You ready? If I can get there. Thank y'all for waiting on me. Okay. Jesus said, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, he that tries to come in the door, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Have you ever noticed when somebody is talking to you and it's God talking to you? Have you ever noticed how you feel like somebody's speaking inside of you? That is because this is the living Word of God. And we are living letters. The Bible calls living epistles of God. God lives inside of us. When we go to speak to somebody, as God is leading, God is speaking through us and it touches them inside. I've had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that I've said, while I'm talking to you, something inside of you is jumping up and down and going, yes. And they go, yeah, how do you know? And I'd never met them before. I said, because that's God. And God's inside of me. I'm trying to mind my own business. And God says, go talk to him. I'm like, okay. So I go over, what, Lord? And he said, tell him this. And I start talking to him. And the guy's like, how do you know? I don't know anything. I was minding my own business. God wanted to talk to you. Okay? He says, look in verse 5 there, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. See, every single person ever born is created by God for fellowship. God, you don't like it, so I'll do it with him. God wants us to hang out with him. He wants us to be close. Do you understand? Fellowship. He wants somebody to love him. Somebody that he can love. Somebody he can talk to, share his heart, share his hurts with. He is a personal God. When you know God, when somebody speaks and it's God, down inside you know this is God. But sometimes people tell you what they're saying is from God, but down inside it don't seem like it's from God. That's because it's not! They're just trying to get you to follow them and not follow God. That's why we need to take them to the Word of God, open it up, and show them. See, I memorized thousands of verses in this thing. I've memorized a lot of this book. I know it in here. But when I go to start talking to somebody, I take them to the Word and show them. Because if I just talk, they think I'm a gifted speaker. They think I'm just eloquent. They think I've got a gift of persuasion, which I do. But you know what? That's why I can be a good salesman. But you know what? People don't need that. They don't need Harvey. They need the Jesus that's in Harvey. Do you understand? So we need to take them to the Word of God. A verse that you ought to have memorized, a verse that is huge for you to be a minister, is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing. Do you want them to have faith in God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not hearing all your arguments, not hearing what all you know. What does God have to say? And when they hear it, they can put their faith in it. They can trust in the Word of God, because inside of them, it's going like this. See, when it's just you and me talking, sometimes there's mixture in there. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong, because that's our opinion. Do you understand? We need to give them the Word of God, because that's what's true. John chapter 10, where we were. Verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now listen to this. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. That means Hindu, God of the Hindus, is a liar. He's a thief and a robber. Do you understand? Muhammad, liar. Do you understand? Buddha, liar. Unless Jesus is a liar, who do you say this man Jesus is? Who is this man Jesus? Do you understand that He is God in the flesh? Because if you miss that, you miss the whole thing. Jesus is God who came to earth in a body. That's why He had to be born of a virgin. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Okay? Look at verse 8. Jesus said, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." You see, the people that are Jesus is the shepherd, the ones that are His sheep, they can't hear. When Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and all the rest of them start talking and saying their things, and here it don't ring true with me. When I listen to them talk, it just, something's not right. But when I hear God, when I hear Jesus, when I hear the Word of God in here, it rings true. And I've done that with professional killers. I've done that with drug dealers. I've done that with rich people and poor people and males and females and ones who didn't even know what they were. I've done this with all kinds of people. And they don't even know me. And I start talking to them the Word of God. And they go, "How do you know? Inside of me, I know what you're saying is true." I said, "It's not me. It's God in me." Well, guess what? It's that same God in you that know Him as your Savior. He lives in you, minister. How are you? What if you had a group from another country who didn't know about Jesus, or what they knew wasn't true according to the Word? How are you going to present Jesus Christ? So, back to the two questions. Who is Jesus to you? A, how would you present Jesus Christ? How would you present Jesus Christ? Number two, what does Scripture say about Jesus Christ? Do me a favor, give me a glass of water with no ice. Just a little bit. Number three, who does Scripture say Jesus is? What does Scripture say about Jesus, and who does the Scripture say Jesus is? Question number two, who are you without Jesus? Who are you without Jesus? Let me explain something to you. The only way to God is humility. Nobody comes to God proud. Nobody comes to God, "I'm cool, I'm good, I'm strong." If they do, they don't come to God. Because the Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace, His power, His life to the humble. The only way up is by humbling yourself. You want to go down, just keep exalting yourself. Thank you, brother. How are we going to present Jesus to a lost and dying world? One of the things that God my wife periodically she says to me, "Harvey, I can't wait until the evangelism that God has done in you. I can't wait till God releases that again." Because God has had me on back burner for about 20 years. I used to go out every week for 15, 20, 25 years. And every week we went out door to door and we went out and we got people. And I mean, I still witness to people everywhere I go. But it was like God was bringing all kinds of people to Jesus like every day. And it was awesome. And God's like, "Harvey, I need to put that on the back burner because you're too caught up in doing all this stuff. And there's other things I want to teach you. Because I want to work through you to train other ministers. So all of you will go out and love people to Jesus." I can't do that with you. Come out and love people to Jesus. We're in John chapter 10. Look at verse 8. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door," Jesus said. "By me, if any man enter in into God, he shall be saved," and then he'll be able to go in and out and find pasture. He'll be full. He'll be eating. Because the thief, the devil, any that are after the devil, the thief only comes. He says he cometh not. The only reason he comes is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When the devil comes, if somebody's trying to steal, kill, or destroy you, that ain't God. The true God is about loving. The true God is about giving. The true God is about us laying our lives down for another, because that's what Jesus did. He laid down His glory, stepped out of heaven, humbled Himself to be born a little codger just like this. And He grew up defenseless. He grew up defenseless. And His mom and dad, though they loved God, they were sinners just like you and me. They were saved sinners. They didn't do everything right. Sometimes they lost their temper and yelled or hit Him. They did things just like we do. Do you understand? And He grew up and He never sinned. Who is this man, Jesus? Turn over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew 1, 21. You want to show her where that is, Janaya? Matthew 1, 21. Actually, let's start with verse... Well, we'll do 21 and 23, and then we're going to go back to verse 18. Are you ready? Matthew 1, 21. Are you ready? And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son. And this is the angel talking to the husband, or the one that was going to be the husband, Joseph, of Mary. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins. He doesn't save us in our sin. He came to deliver us from our sin. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus is God with us. He's not another God to be worshipped. We worshipped some statue of Mary one time when we were starting a church down in Texas. A lot of the whole town was Catholic. But they were very superstitious Catholics down there. And we were witnessing to this lady, and we were talking to her about Jesus. And she was, yes, yes, I agree, I agree. And Sue said, she said, would you like Jesus to be your Savior? She goes, sure. And God said, look at her fireplace mantle. And up there was a Buddha. Up there was a crucifix. You know, a statue of Mary. And then there was a crucifix. And there was a picture of Pancho Villa. Because they believed in Pancho Villa, because they were all Mexicans. They believed in Pancho Villa, the spirit of Pancho Villa, to deliver them. And God told my wife to do this. My real quiet, timid wife, who y'all don't even know. Okay. And she goes up there and she gathered all those off and she laid them face down on the floor. And she said, you've got to deny these if you want Jesus. He's not another God. He's the only God. And she said, I can't do that. They protect me. She said, they don't do nothing. They're dead. And if you're trusting in them, you can't trust in Jesus. Because He's not another. He's the only. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In other words, God's saying, check it out. I'm telling you how it happened. When as His mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, that means before they consummated their marriage. Okay? Before they came together. Does anybody get that? Okay. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just or a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example. You see, it's okay in society today for girls to go get pregnant, for guys and girls to sleep together, and they're not married. But it's not okay according to God. But this society, because they want to do that, they just act like it's okay. But back when I was a kid, if a girl got pregnant, everybody, it was a big thing. I mean, people didn't have anything to do with her. It was a big thing. It was a shame. She would hide and stay in her home. When I was growing up, I was a little kid. My mom and dad had unwed mothers, mothers who were women who were pregnant, girls who were pregnant, come live in our house. They came from other cities, came to our house, lived with us for 9 or 10 months, whatever it was, 6 months, and then they would have their baby and give their baby away, and then they'd go back to their town so nobody would know. It was a shame. Well, back then, at this time, it was even more than a shame. If a girl was pregnant and she wasn't married, they killed her. They took her out, the whole town gathered around her, picked up stones, and killed her. So Joseph did not want to bring it to the public attention. That's what it means. Before, it says, when as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, verse 19, being a just man, a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He said, she didn't go sleep with somebody else. He said, God said, I put my seed inside of her. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, you understand, 700 years, if I remember correctly, 700 years before Jesus was born, God moved on a prophet to say, there is going to be a woman that's going to be a virgin, and she's going to have a child, and that child is going to be God in the flesh. He's going to be Emmanuel, God with us, God coming to live in a human form. 700 years before it happened. And that's what this is saying. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Turn over to the next chapter, verse 1. I'm not going to read through all of this, but if you read through starting at verse 1, I'm just going to read verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, like from the Middle East, okay, or even further. China, India, whatever, to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Well, the king didn't like that because he wanted to be worshipped. He said, go and find that child. When you do, let me know about him. Well, God warned him, don't you do that. He's a fox. He's a bad guy. He's wearing a black hat. Okay? And if you go down and you read in verse 11, these rulers, when they were come to Jesus' house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped. Who did they worship? I can't hear you. Oh, they didn't worship Mary? You won't ever find one place in the Bible that talks about worshiping Mary. There's some people that made that up, but it ain't in the Bible. We worship Jesus. Jesus is God. We worship Jesus. How would you present Jesus? I'm asking you this while I'm doing this. How would you present Jesus? How would you present your Savior Jesus? Was He born of a virgin? Is He God in the flesh? Was He worshipped by rulers? Look over in Revelation, last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. 17:14. It's talking about the end times, what's getting ready to happen when the false prophet, the beast, the Antichrist, and they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb, the sacrifice of God, shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Look at chapter 19 and verse 11. Chapter 19. Just one page over probably. Verse 11. Are you there? And I saw heaven opened. Heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And He that sat upon that horse was called Faithful and True. Is Jesus faithful? Is Jesus true? Let's keep going. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. He's not a little long-haired pansy flitting around just saying love everything. Jesus loves, but Jesus makes war. He does not like sin. That's why He died, because sin killed Him. Because He didn't want it to kill us. Do you understand? He's not a little sissy. He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. A minute ago, stand up, Gary. A minute ago, our little brother Gary said, He must be talking to me. He's looking right at me. I wasn't looking at Him. Look at that verse. His eyes were as a flame of fire. He was looking at you. And on His head were many crowns, because He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture, with garments that were dipped in blood, His own blood. Because by the shedding of blood, we're forgiven. See, sin has to be paid for. When we sin, every sin we've ever done, we're doing, or we ever think of doing, it has to be paid for. And Jesus is pictured clothed in blood. That's one thing I like about in the Catholic Church. They have that crucifix. And what I've heard preachers say is, they'll say, yeah, but my Jesus is risen from the dead. But I like that crucifix. Not that I necessarily want to have one, but I like it because it pictures Jesus on the cross. It pictures Him there, beaten and bruised and battered and bloodied for me. And that's what my sin caused. And that just makes me love Him more. Thank You. You did that for me. For me. So look at that verse. How would you present Jesus? And He was clothed with a vesture, with garments that were dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. I've had people say to me, you mean you worship this book? We're supposed to worship Jesus. What does that verse say? His name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. Yes, I worship this book because it's Jesus. Just keep reading. And the armies which were in heaven followed Jesus upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Because when you come to Jesus and we come through the blood, we come out white. Because Jesus makes us clean. Verse 15, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's the Word of God. Out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Doesn't sound like a pansy to me. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God, and He hath on His vesture, on His clothing, and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel. Nope, we're not going to go there. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. See, Jesus loves you just like you are. Jesus loves you right where you are. But as I told you, and many of you have seen that picture of me in the back of my Bible, when I had long hair, I was a drug dealer. And Jesus came to me where I was. Jesus didn't just sit over here and look at me and say, you bad boy. I already knew I was a bad boy. But when I started reading this book, smoking dope, reading this book, God walked in the room. Whoa! Put the joint out. I kept reading this book. And I saw that everybody that came to Jesus was never the same. How are you going to present Jesus? I'm asking you, minister of God. How are you going to present Jesus? How are you going to lift Him up? What's your testimony? When did you see Jesus walk in your life? Where were you? What gutter were you in? I'm just asking. See, if we act like we have arrived. Sinners don't come to that. And everybody's a sinner. And we need to present Jesus the way He is. But in order to present Him the way He is, we need to present ourselves as the way we really are. Because who am I without Jesus? Nothing. I am nothing without Him. But to Him, I'm everything. He calls me His son. He hangs out with me all the time. He calls me His friend. He hugs me right up next to His breast. I feel His heartbeat all the time. His breath is right on my neck. He kisses me. I tell Him thank you all the time. Jesus, thank you so much. And He'll say, thank you. Like, quit thanking me, Jesus. He says, yeah, but you let me do what you let me do through you. You let me hug somebody. Other people, I tell them, they won't go hug them. Somebody calls you to go to the hospital and you don't go, well, I'm too busy. Let's go! They need Jesus! You see what I'm saying? So Jesus, He says, thank you! To me all the time! Can you imagine? Do you not understand Romans 2:11? There is no respecter of persons with God. Do you not understand? I'm not better than anybody. Matter of fact, I'm worse than all of you. That's why I love Him so much. Because He loves me so much. He forgave me so much. He keeps forgiving me all the time, every day. How would you like it if Dudley, thank you. Tom, thank you. You hear that from Jesus. You go to thank Him, and He tells you thank you. God tells you thank you. How would you present Jesus? I'm going to be done, but I want us to read one more passage. Turn to Mark. If you were in Matthew, Mark is right after Matthew. Mark chapter 5, verse 23. Mark chapter 5, don't worry about it. I'll do it. Mark chapter 5, verse 23. On this page somewhere, 21, 23. Okay? You ready? Are you ready?
Oh, I should be there too.
Mark 5, 23. Somebody remind me to bring my glasses next time. Verse 21. And when Jesus, verse 23, and they besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, Jesus, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus said, No, I'm too big for that. Is that what He said? And Jesus went with them. And much people followed Him and thronged Him. They're like, where is He going? I want to be with Him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Here's this woman sick for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. She kept going to doctors. She went to Dr. Eric and he gave her a bunch of opinions. That's why they call him a practicing physician. And he gave her a bunch of opinions and it didn't work. But she spent her money with him. Then she went to Dr. Tom and he gave her other ideas. And it still didn't work. And she kept doing this for 12 years. And she never got healed but got worse. And it spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, how do you present Jesus? I'm asking you. I didn't ask you about presenting Jehovah. I didn't ask you about presenting some generic God. How do you present Jesus? And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind Him, the bunch of people, and she reached out and touched His garment. For she said, if I can but touch His clothes, I shall be made whole. She had a lot of faith. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, Hey, who touched me? And His disciples, His close followers, said unto Him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee? Here's Jesus, and He's got all these whole crowds of people, you just think. And they're pressing on Him. And they said, You see all these people? And you ask, Who touched you? And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. There He is looking. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, He's looking at me! Came and fell down before Him. This is a good time to worship. And told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, complete. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, remember the man came and said, Hey, my daughter is about to die. And Jesus said, I'll come. Well, people that were at the house came and told Him while He was on His way, Hey, don't bother. She already died. That's what it says right here. Where are we? Verse what? 35. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain people which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the Master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And He suffered. He allowed no man to follow Him, save or except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and He seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. I imagine they do this over in Yugoslavia, but they do this in Europe and Eastern, Middle East countries. When somebody dies, they all the people are dressed in black and they wail and they make a big to-do, right? That's what was happening here. Verse 39. And when Jesus was come in, He saith unto them, He says, Why do you make this big show, this big ado and weep? The damsel, the little girl, is not dead but sleeps. And they laughed Him to scorn. They scorned at Him. What? She's dead. There's no pulse. There's no breath. And they laughed him to scorn. But when Jesus had put them all out, Jesus can't do something with doubt. He can't do something with unbelief. You'll find the last verse of Hebrews 3 talking about the Old Testament. It's Hebrews 3:18, I believe, and it says, "So then we see that they entered not in because of unbelief." Minister of God, that's advanced for you. Advanced training. You ought to get that verse. "So then we see that they entered not in because of unbelief." People can't enter into faith in Jesus when they don't believe. How do they believe? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Remember I told you earlier, Romans 10:17? Put next to it, Hebrews 3:18. They cannot enter in because of unbelief. "And when Jesus had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the little girl, and them that were with them." The mother's name was, the father's name was Sadek, and the mother's name was Mersada. Oh. "And them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying." The little girl, where she was like laying there. "And he took the damsel by the hand, the little girl, and he said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, little girl, I say unto you, get up. And straightway the damsel arose." Now here's this little dead girl. But Jesus didn't believe what he saw. He believed what God was telling him. His Father. He is God. But he was believing what his Father was telling him. This little girl's going to live. And the little girl got up and she walked, didn't she? That's right. "For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." I'm not going to take this away from Sue, but I want you to pay attention on purpose. Are you listening, ministers? Listening? 26 or 7 days ago, when we were called to go to the hospital, and we went there, God could have just touched little Emelina, which He did that day, and boom, raised her up, everything be fine, no more dialysis, everything be healed. But you know what? God was after more of them. Do you understand? God's not in the show business. Let's just go around and clear all the hospitals. And then what? They go live for themselves? God's like, hey. Jesus is like, hey, I'm real. I want you to know that. And I want you to spend some time in the Word and hearing the Word, because I want you to know the real God, because you really, down in your heart, you really want to know the real God. Right? Right. Right. See? And so, He says, little by little. See, Jesus can heal immediately. We've seen Him do that. One time a guy came to us with so much pain, he couldn't even put his pants together. He had cancer. And we had him go up to the cross, put his hand on the cross. We spoke into him. He fell down. And his wife was sitting next to him. And you know how when you lay down, you have little eye sockets? Well, you have them when you're standing up too. But when you're laying down, they're like little indents. She cried over him so much, she filled his eye sockets with water. She cried, filling him, you know, wee, 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 you know, and filled and cried. And we just put our hands on him and just waited. God just said, put your hand on him. We didn't say a bunch of words. It's not us. It's Jesus in us. You got to have a real relationship. What'd you say, Jesus? And then you do, see, you lean against His heart. Yes. That's why you got to live here. You can't just show up on Sunday. You got to live with Him. Hang out with Him. Because people need you every day of the week. Every hour of the day. And we just laid hands on Him. And God said, okay, He's healed. We said, okay, you're healed, get up. So He got up. We said, go to the doctor and have him run tests. He went to the doctor. We first said, is there anything you couldn't do before you came here? He said, I couldn't even touch my stomach here. And I said, well, can you touch it now? And he took his hand and he starts going like this. Took his hand out here and starts hitting himself. Look, it doesn't even hurt. And he went to the doctor and the next day and they ran tests because he was going to school to be a doctor. And he went to the hospital the next day and they ran tests and said, you don't have any more cancer. See, God could do it in one day or God could take 27 days to reach more people. You just got to do what God tells you to do. You just got to trust in God. Not trust in what you see, think, feel, or what other people say. Do you understand? God, Jesus, is real. Do you see this? He healed the lady. He's walking along, the lady comes up, touches him, she gets healed. And he realizes, hey, somebody touched me here more than just touching me. This lady touched me with faith. You see, that's what Jesus is about. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith is believing in Jesus. Is that right?
Yeah. I know, just give me
all right? Jesus, thank You for these words. I'm asking that You would just work them in hearts, work them in lives. I ask that You would be seen and that, Lord, there would be seeds of faith that would just bring forth fruit and glory to Your precious name. Thank You, Jesus.